This is the Texas Standard.
And as we mentioned, the state does have a budget to guide it over the next 2 years, the House and Senate passing that one piece of required legislation over the weekend. For the details on where the money is going and where it's not, we're joined by Bob Garrett, Austin Bureau reporter for the Dallas Morning News. Bob, thanks for giving us a moment.
You're welcome. Good to be here, Laura.
So it won't be the budget, at least, that might send the legislature into a special session. I understand this weekend the two chambers agreed on a $217 billion two-year budget. Is that right?
That's right. One that, you know, grows overall spending by less than 1%. Pretty tight budget.
And some of that money is coming from the state's rainy day fund, which was always contentious.
Just under $1 billion, but they could have spent up to nearly $12 billion in rainy day fund money. And of course, no one was seriously proposing to use it all, but just gives you an idea they used less than 10% of what they had available.
So is that a win at all for the House? I know the two chambers were sort of split. The Senate didn't want to touch it at all, and the House was wanting to use a little more. I guess it sounds like a compromise.
It was a compromise because the House, while it forced Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick to use some rainy day fund money, the House itself gave up on its opposition to a complicated accounting mover that Patrick and the Senate wanted to do, which involves the timing of delays of sales tax money from the general budget over to the highway fund. So they got $1.8 billion out of that maneuver, so they were able to, you know, add to the comptroller's revenue estimate a total then of about $2.7 billion in extra spending.
Now, a lot of Texans may not be that impressed by this compromise, though. Like you said, $11 billion left unspent and several big things not really addressed in this budget. Public schools, a big one. Parents might not be so happy about that. What happened there?
Essentially, Patrick and the Senate demanded a school voucher type experiment, even a modest one for just disabled students. And the House said no, and the Senate and Patrick made extra school funding the price of that. So they did, in the end, cut down a House-passed proposal to spend nearly $2 billion more on schools, cut it down to about $500 million, but attached that little poison pill, a school voucher, and that unraveled the whole deal. And that had been foreseeable going into the session that they might deadlock on education over the school choice or voucher issue, and indeed they did.
And so nothing more for schools, even though it was found just barely constitutional by a judge.
Virtually nothing more, some tiny little grant programs. The governor got out of the existing budget for schools the money for his high-quality pre-kindergarten program, but no, it's pretty much a flat-lined deal other than covering the cost of enrollment growth, about 80,000 new public school students a year in Texas, so that's covered. But they're shifting the burden increasingly to local property taxpayers for schools, and that's the real driver of unhappiness about property taxes, but we're not dealing with the prime driver. We're sort of dealing with the back-end protest issues on property taxes.
Another priority for the governor at the beginning of this session was Child Protective Services. How did all that end up faring in the budget?
Well, that was one of the clear winners. A little bit more than $500 million more invested in CPS and foster care. They're going to be able to hire another 600 new employees on top of the 830 they got permission to hire. So, and the pay raises that they got on an emergency basis in December. So they do have a new lease on life to try to get turnover down and improve investigations on the front end and improve foster care on the back end. So we'll see if a federal judge in Corpus Christi is impressed with their work on foster care. She gets to grade their papers on this one, and she hasn't been giving them high marks.
Bob Garrett is the Austin Bureau reporter for the Dallas Morning News. Bob, thank you again.
Thank you, Laura.